All right, good evening. Okay, so since today is Valentine's Day, I thought I would come up here and talk about love. And I know there are plenty of you out here tonight who have a lot more experience with love than I have. And a lot of you have been married longer than I've been alive. So I'm not necessarily the perfect model. I've never been married, never had a child before. The longest relationship I've ever had was 2 years. But that all being said, I'm still going to talk about what I know. Now, when I was younger, I thought I understood love, being in relationships, or at least I thought I had an idea. I thought that once you found someone and you felt love, that it would be easy. That if you love each other, why is it hard? Why shouldn't it be easy? That things would just magically fall into place, that loving each other was the most important thing. And I couldn't understand why it would be hard sometimes. Why can't the feeling just be enough? And why can't things just work themselves out? And I didn't understand that love is more than just a feeling, that love is action, and that love is actually doing something. Recently, I experienced something with a brother in Christ. It's not a romantic scenario, but it's still a scenario involving love. And you may have experienced similar circumstances, but me and this brother, we got into an argument, a really bad argument. And it was over something really silly, really minute. And I made mistakes. I said things I shouldn't have said. I said things that I regretted. And I realized that my actions that night were not out of love, but out of sillier emotions. And I realized that I was in the wrong, that the anger I was feeling was wrong. And I prayed to God, and I tried to ask for an answer. And in that moment, I realized that what I was doing was being immature. And what I was doing wasn't showing love to another person. And I quickly went to that person, and I asked forgiveness, and we made up. But the point was, is that sometimes you fall short and sometimes you make mistakes. And the important thing is what you choose to do with that, whether or not you choose to love that other person or you choose to love yourself. Now, I'm going to read some verses that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. I've heard plenty of people refer to them as the wedding verses. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And it's called the wedding verses because most of the time when you're at a wedding, someone will say it, either a preacher or someone. And I think it's important to bring this verse into context, because see, what's going on in this letter, in the broad picture, when Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians, he's going on and on about how wonderful spiritual gifts are. And he gives all these great examples, and he's talking about it. And he's talking about all these great gifts from God. And then he brings up love. And we like to take that part, and we like to talk about like how great love is. But when we exclude it, sometimes we forget that he's referring to how, of all the spiritual gifts that God gives you, that love is the most powerful thing, that love is everything. And how without love, your spiritual gifts will fall apart. Without love, the good that you do with your spiritual gifts mean nothing. So I'll go ahead and start reading it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And love never fails. And another part, when Paul is talking in Ephesians, and he compares Christ and the church, and he refers to the church as being the bride of Christ. And if we examine Christ's life, we realize how lucky we are that we have this perfect example of love. Because when you dissect chapter 13, when you dissect it, when Paul's talking about love, you will see Jesus in every action. When he says love is patient, you see Jesus' patience. He spends 3 years with his disciples teaching them all the while, and even some still don't get it. But you have to imagine the patience that Jesus felt, the love that he felt for his disciples. Love is kind. How Jesus, whenever you see him interacting with people, how showing just small acts of kindness, whether he's healing people or whether he's just simply having a conversation with someone that no one would want to talk to, whether the person was a sinner or just an outcast or a Gentile. He treated everyone kindly. And the next part, love does not envy, boast, or proud. When you see Jesus and you see him perform these miraculous things, feeding thousands of people with nothing, and then the crowd gets all excited and they want to call him King of Israel and they want him to be this conqueror. And what Jesus does instead is hides away. He goes away from that glory, because that was never God's plan. That what happened to Jesus was his plan. It was never to be this grand king to save them in a physical sense. Love does not dishonor others. You can see Jesus in respect for everyone, whether they be sinners or even Pharisees, spiritual elites. He's not self-seeking. Jesus performs the perfect example of selflessness when he gave himself for all of God's children. Love is not easily angered. You can see that how Jesus would act peacefully with people, and how sometimes he would show emotion, but his emotion was to draw a point. It was never quick to anger, and it was never to cause harm. Love keeps no records of wrongs. He forgives us of our sins, of all the wrongs that we do constantly on a daily basis, and he forgives and he forgets them. And of course, Jesus does not delight in evil, because Jesus is the opposite of evil. Jesus rejoices in the truth because he is the truth. He is the way. Jesus protects us because he is always there for us. Trust, hope, perseverance, and love never fails. Jesus will always be there for us. He will always endure, whether we mess up or not. He is always there for us, because God is love. That is why God meets all of these definitions. So like I've said, I've never been married, but I have been baptized. And if you think about it, being baptized is kind of like having a wedding. It's the ceremony we go through. We say these words and we come out with this experience, but really we're making this commitment with God. And just like marriage, we make a commitment to another person in front of God. In both actions, we are pledging our lives to something. We are making this commitment with God. You're making a commitment to devote your life to this person and devoting that commitment to God. Now, what I thought was love when I was a child was really immaturity. It was an immature notion of thinking of what love could be, and that through spiritual growth, through understanding, that I can see the truth, that realizing that the things that I've done in the past were not the things that God was looking for me to do. Later in chapter 13, Paul writes, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." There comes a point in time when you have to grow up. If you want love, if you want true love with another person, you're talking about sharing your life with them. you're talking about making this adult decision, and you have to come at it with a mature state of mind. And I see now what it means to love someone, what it means to have a partner, have someone with you constantly, someone who will challenge you when you're doing something wrong, someone that won't treat you like they're your mother or they're your father, someone that will take care of you or someone that you take care of them, because you understand that a relationship is not 50-50, it's not 100% one person and nothing the other person, it's 100% 100%. That this person is your partner, that they have your back, and that you have theirs because you trust each other. When Paul writes, love rejoices in the truth, I understand that your partner should know the truth about you, that your partner should know the true you. That way that they can rejoice in knowing each other. You have to, you know, have this strong communication with another person, because that's the only way the person can truly know your heart. And that love breaks down when one partner or both partners stops communicating with the other person. It breaks down when one person builds a wall between the other two, because it makes this impossible thing for them to cross for you. When he says that love trusts, again, it's saying that you have to know their heart, and you have to know them better than yourselves, better than yourselves. That not only know their strengths, but you also know their weakness. You know what causes them to stumble, and that you look out for them, and that they in turn look out for you, because, like it also says, love protects. That when there is a problem, you are there for the other person, solving the problem together, because if you love them, you have their best interests at heart. That you're not the person to fix their problem, but you together fix the problem together. And again, when he says that love keeps no record of wrongs, he's saying that love forgives and forgets. That if you truly love someone, then you should be able to pass or move past the wrong. That if the person truly loves you, and when they say that they're sorry for the issue, that they will then try their best to never do it again. And I know we're all humans, and sometimes that can get in the way. But keeping a list of someone's shortcomings is just asking something to fail, that you shouldn't be holding something against them, because they are only human just like you. And then he says that love is not self-seeking. And from my experience, from what I've seen from people, from what I've seen in my past relationships, is selfishness. It's a problem that we all have, that we choose ourselves instead of the person that we make a commitment to, the person that we say we love. And it's so easy to do, to think of yourself, to put yourself first. Because maybe you're tired, maybe it's been a long day, maybe you think you deserve this, or maybe you've earned it. But you have to understand that maybe they're tired, maybe they've had a long day. And thinking of another person and trying to meet their needs comes back to this idea of being mature and understanding the commitment that you've made. Be patient with your partner. Be kind to your partner. That love is not a game, that there's no winner. That when you argue over little things, when you think that it's so important that you have to be right, you don't see the divide that you're causing, that it doesn't matter who's right. It matters that you love each other and that you can work together and figure out whatever is wrong, whatever is bothering you, that little arguments mean nothing in the grand scheme of things. Again, when he says love does not envy, love does not boast, nor is proud, again, why do you feel that you need to win these arguments that mean nothing? You dishonor your love for this other person when you hold silly arguments over them. We all need to stop being selfish and understand how to love each other. And these are just some things that you should be looking for in a partner. These are just some things that you should be treating a partner. But not only that, but just how you should treat each other, how you should treat your brothers. That Christ led the perfect example in how we should love each other and how we should love like Christ. And if you find these things lacking in your life, or if you find that your relationships are harder than it should be, you should turn to God, because I know it can seem so difficult, and turning to God sounds like such an easy answer, but really the only thing that's holding you back is yourself, and that there are plenty of people that are willing to help you. There are plenty of services that are willing to help you, and there is always God there for you.